God sends us into the world changed. I love that. Good morning, Grace. Good morning, friends. Good to see you. If you don't know who I am, that makes a lot of sense. My name is Pastor Alex, and I mostly serve over at Covenant. But whenever Justin needs a hand, we rotate, me, Justin, and Danny, between the churches. Someone this morning said, Danny and Alex, the A-team are here. And it's tough because what he didn't say is that when Justin's here, the A-plus team is here. And we forgot that there's a plus. Well, friends, we're in a sermon series called Go and Tell It. We're using James Cone's book, Said I Wasn't Gonna Tell Nobody, as inspiration. Because, listen, when we encounter something holy, we're presented with a choice. We can keep it to ourselves, or we can share it. And I'm always reminded that when people were healed by Jesus, they couldn't help but share what happened to them. Or they wanted to share that this encounter was so important. And Jesus, this was the funny part about it, Jesus would often tell them, he'd say, don't say anything. And it's funny how many of them had an encounter with God and decided that listening to God in that moment wasn't important. There was this compulsive need to share a divine moment, something they saw as sacred that they knew their community needed to hear, their community would benefit greatly from. And I think we need to get better at this, better at telling, because I think we have a messaging problem. We may often share things that we may think are important or divine or sacred, but maybe miss the mark a bit. Let me give you a for instance. For instance, let's go to our first picture here. This is a picture of grilled cheese. This grilled cheese was made by Diana Dicer. I think that's how you pronounce her name. And she finished making the grilled cheese, took a bite of it, and then realized she saw the face of the Virgin Mary on this piece of grilled cheese. And she locked it up and held it for about 10 years. And it recently sold. It sold because she thought it was sacred, divine, important. And she wasn't the only one who found it sacred, divine, and important. Because this grilled cheese sold for $28,000 at an auction. Or take this next picture. This next picture is a shrine called the Shrine of the Holy Tortilla. In 1977, Maria Rubio was rolling up a burrito when she noticed a thumb-sized configuration of the face of Jesus. She took this as a sign. She saw it as sacred, divine, important. She actually quit her job and dedicated herself fully to the creation of this shrine. And in just a span of 2 years, 35,000 people are said to have visited the shrine, leaving flowers, photos of past loved ones at it. Or this last one, and you guessed it, it's another instance of Jesus burnt on bread. I know people may not live by bread alone, but that won't stop us from trying, folks. This is called the Miracle Chapati, and I think chapati is maybe some type of Indian-style bread. But burnt on this bread is the face of Jesus, or at least that's what people see. And sure enough, some 20,000 Christians have visited this retreat center offering prayers to this bread. And listen, I know we made light of it, but I don't want to disparage these people who experience something divine in these things. Listen, honestly, good on you if you can sell your grilled cheese for $28,000. Someone obviously found importance in that. But if I'm thinking about what I want to tell people, if I'm thinking about what I feel is important, what's divine, what's sacred, I'm looking for something to share that's a little bit deeper than iconography on bread. And I mean, I just think God can be found in other places. Because if God is only found in bread, then what would God do if we didn't burn our bread? How would God show God's self? So I'm wondering, What can I share with others as I ask myself what is sacred? What do I find divine? I'm wondering what I find important enough that even if God told me not to, I'd still share it. I'd share it because my community would be changed because of it. Where can I encounter the divine? Where can I encounter the sacred? And what's funny with all these bread stories is that I don't think it's so silly to find God in natural resources. I mean, before we had the Bible, people found divinity in nature. And we still do, right? We see a beautiful mountain sunset. We see trees so high that we can't see the top. We see water so deep that I don't know what's under me. There's an element of nature that even in our day of science is so mysterious, awe-inspiring, humbling. It's larger than ourselves, and nature was here before we were. And it also provides sustenance to us. There's a deep sacredness to things in nature. Things like water. The Sioux tribe, for instance, has a deep connection with water. Their spiritual rituals involve water. Water is a critical element in their creation stories. Water provides their mythology and spirituality. Water is the place where they seek healing from spiritual and physical ailments. It's used in their ceremonies for renewal. They view water as a bridge for them to connect with their ancestors. Water sustains them in the land around them. Water is a part of their identity. It's a part of the story they tell. And so, when something dangerous, like the Dakota Access Pipeline was planning on being in, they protested. Not only because the pipeline would pass through their land and burial grounds, but it would also pass through the Missouri River, their main source of drinking water. It would damage something sacred. And so what do we do? What do we do when something is sacred? Something is so important, something is so divine, it's at the heart of everything we hold dear. They told their community. They protested the pipeline. Thousands gathered to protest. It was called one of the largest gatherings in Native Americans in centuries. Water is such a deep personal and spiritual connection that to damage the water would be to damage that very person. And listen, not only do the Sioux tribe, the indigenous people, have this connection, but so do the Israelites. We can see it in many of their narratives, but the one area I want to focus on today is their connection to the Jordan River. In our scripture passage today, Jesus enters into the Jordan River for his baptism. And without context, it's like, cool, whatever. The Jordan is just a river. But it has such a deeper connection to the Israelites. It's a river that not only tells them their identity, but also a sacred place where divine power can be touched. Take, for instance, the first of many references to the Jordan River can be found in Genesis, in which the Jordan River is compared to the garden of God after Lot saw the Jordan Valley was completely watered. Or Jacob is described as crossing the Jordan River with his staff in Genesis 32. Moses gives his speech in Deuteronomy from the Jordan River. The second covenant from God after the Israelites escaped Egypt that happens while the Israelites are camped near the Jordan River. Joshua and the Israelite tribe settled east of the Jordan River. Joshua and the Israelites split the Jordan River and crossed in chapter 3. Elijah performed miracles in the Jordan, healing Naaman and making an axe head float. Elijah boards a chariot of fire by the Jordan. And Ruth tells a story about how two women from opposite sides of the Jordan come together and flourish. I mean, how many examples do I need? So Jesus enters into the Jordan. It's a message from the water that connects Jesus to divinity and to the history of the Jewish people. And what happens when we encounter something so sacred, so divine, so important? Well, we can't help but share. But this time, it's not the people around him, it's God. Because God rips open heaven and earth, and like the proudest dad in the world goes, "That's my boy! I'm so proud of you, Dove. You are my son. You are my beloved. With you, I'm well pleased." In the water of our baptism, we connect to that very same history of the water. In the water of our baptism, we connect to the stories and mythologies told long ago. In the water of our baptism, we connect to that identity marker. We are God's children, with whom he loves, and with whom he is well pleased. An identity marker is placed on us, a historical, a sacred, a divine, an important identity that the water preaches to us. In grace, I'm worried. I'm worried that we may not know. I'm worried that we may not remember our identity from the water. And so I'd actually like you all to help me end my sermon. In your seats or around your seats are a sheet of paper. It's a blank sheet of paper that says, "My identity in Christ is." And the problem is I can tell you all day long that you have a sacred identity, but I want you to know that for yourself. So Linda is going to play for maybe like a minute. She's going to play Go Tell on the Mountain. It's quick, all right? I'll tell you that. She's going to play it a few times to give you some time, but it's quick. So here's what I want you to do. In that time, I want you to write down as many sacred identities that you find in yourself in Christ. What has your baptism taught to you? Who are you? How are you formed by the water? I'll have examples of words, phrases, and things up on screen that hopefully are a little bit of a memory jogger. But take a minute right now, and I want you to write down all the words you can think of that align with your identity in Christ. Linda, take us there. Kevin, can you pull up the examples?
Thanks.
One more time. Can we go one more time, Linda? Just to give him a second. Well, what happens, Grace, when we encounter something sacred, divine, important? It's that our community needs to know. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to find the person next to you. Find a person to your left or to your right. You got to go to Danny. I'm sorry. That's how it's going to find a person to your left or to the right. I want you to share with them a word. Do it now. Share with them a word off your paper. You turned to one direction and shared. Now go to the other direction and share. Very good. Good job. Good job, friends. Now I want you to look at the person behind you and share what you have on your paper. If you have no one behind you, if you're back row, you got to rush to them back there. You got to rush to the live streamers. That's right. There you go. All right, quickly, friends, popcorn it for me. A word, a phrase on your paper. Say it out loud. Blessed. What else? Say it. Servant. Secure. What else? Father.
Redeemed.
Redeemed.
Neighbor.
Inclusive. Inclusive.
Loved.
Listen, friends, I want you to keep your paper with you as you leave as a reminder today. And listen, if you're looking at your paper right now and it's blank, you're like, I don't know. That was too quick, or I don't know. There's yellow stars on that station in the back. Feel free to grab a word, and that can be your theme for this year. Your word for this year, if you'd like a little bit of a challenge to live up to. But here's your reminder, friends. Your identity in Christ is sacred. It's divine. It's important. Personally, I think it's more important than iconography on bread. And now, you have a choice. We can keep it to ourselves, or we can share it. But I hope you share it. I hope you share the message from the water, because Grace, your community needs to hear it.